We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The question, will J.J. McCarthy be a star in the NFL? Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We got a lot of plates spinning around here today. It's busy because the NFL draft is tomorrow, Perloff, and the noise and the smoke around teams potentially tripping over themselves to try to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. And whether that's going to be 4 or 5, the line right now of where he'll be drafted is set at 5.5. But the idea that you would be trading future assets, that you would be trying to outbid your competition with more and more and more to get J.J. McCarthy, to me, just on the surface, sounds crazy. And I'm not saying that J.J. McCarthy wasn't a winner. I'm not saying that he doesn't have talent. It's not about that. It's about what we all watched out of his college career. And I know this is a projection, but he's a guy who has lots of game film whose evaluation feels incomplete because he was not asked to be the focal point of the offense. So to not just draft him, if you want to draft him, go ahead. But to give away next year's first round pick or even beyond that for J.J. McCarthy, to me, seems wild.
Yeah, I mean, it might not happen for that very reason. I think to get to 4, to get to 3 for Drake May is impossible. You basically have to pull up the Brinks truck. But for J.J. McCarthy, maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe you don't have to give up 3 number ones. For 2 number ones, so you swap your number one, 12 to 3. Say you're the Vikings. You say, I'm not going to give you, you have the 11 pick. I'll give you the 11 pick, and I'll give you next year's first. Is that, can I sell you down in some middle ground? Maybe you don't have to give up all these future assets. You're just moving up a little bit.
Okay, but I feel like next year's first, I know people are projecting, you know, the Vikings will be a pretty good team, but are we sure you're a playoff team? I don't know. I think I might need that pick next year. Not for a quarterback necessarily, but for another piece. And, you know, I don't know what's going to go on with Justin Jefferson. I have no idea what the future holds for him. I don't know. I think that's too rich for me.
But the reality is, if you don't get a quarterback, you're going to have Sam Darnold as your starting quarterback. You have no team. There's no reason. You're not going to draft anything that's going to make an impact because all positions are weakened if you don't have your quarterback. That's why you trade up. That's why there's such a crazy market for these guys.
Okay, but here's the thing about, we're talking about J.J. McCarthy. The question, will he be a star? You can go vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. So you mentioned it. If the Vikings don't get a quarterback, they are going into the season with Sam Darnold. We know Kirk Cousins has left. He has gone to Atlanta. You're picking at 11. You or 12. No, 11 for the Vikings, right? 11, 11, 12, 13. This is where you lose me a little bit because you have put yourself into this position where you're desperate now because if I'm a head coach, I don't want to go into the season with Sam Darnold. I mean, Kevin O'Connell can work some kind of miracles, but I don't want to put all my eggs in the Sam Darnold basket because I might get fired at the end of the year if things go really bad. So am I making this selection am I advocating for my team to trade up and trade up and trade future assets because I really believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a great quarterback, or am I doing it because I'm looking around and thinking, oh no, if I don't come away with a quarterback, then my behind is going to be on the hot seat?
I don't think it's that is the debate there. I just think that Kevin O'Connell's looking at this and say, this dude will run my offense the way I want it to run, and he'll hit these big-time receivers, and this just feels like it, and I don't know that it's going to be McCarthy. Obviously, they want May number one because Josh McCown's in the building and Coach May, and everybody knows it's no secret that the Vikings cover Drake May. But I think that Kevin O'Connell looks at this guy and says, this guy's going to run my offense. I think what you're saying is he doesn't need to be great here. And I don't think it's a matter of desperation. I think it's just like, get me a player who'll just run my offense. Coaches think like coaches. They want to have the impact here. I think KOC thinks, yeah, this guy's fine.
Okay,
I think
for fine, you're fine. Asking me to do future first round picks.
It's hard. It's hard to get fine with cost certainty.
Like, well, why don't you get Michael Pratt then? If you want someone who can just distribute the football and to run your offense, you're talking about Kirk Cousins. We've used other analogies. Brock Purdy. None of these guys were taken even close to the first round, let alone you gave up future assets to get any of these guys. Like, there's a reason why you can find the quote-unquote, if you want him to be a game manager, there's a reason why you can find those guys later on in the draft.
Well, yeah, but if they could redo those drafts, Kirk Cousins would be a first-round pick. There was a lot of confusing things going on with Kirk Cousins and Michigan State, and Brock Purdy would clearly be a first-round pick as well. So, I think to me, J.J. McCarthy's a caliber up from Michael Pratt, who I love, by the way, and I love the helmets, everything about that team.
The green wave helmet.
But, yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy, he's a good, see, I think one thing I think, the basic core, for some reason, I sense that J.J. McCarthy's a good quarterback.
Right.
I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's better than Michael Pratt. I think he's way better than Spencer Rattler.
Sure.
I think he's good. I think he's going to go in and immediately have success. And is he going to be Josh Allen? No, but you're not getting that guy anyway. I think that KOC is fine with good and thinks he can win a lot of football games.
And that's Kevin O'Connell, who's the head coach of the Vikings. Would you say the same thing, though, if he goes to Denver or if he goes to Las Vegas?
So, no.
So that's the teams who are picking directly after Minnesota at 12 and at 13.
No. I would not. I think Denver's a mess. I think that whole organization is totally screwed up. And I think the Raiders need a different kind of quarterback. They don't need, you called him a game manager. I guess that's usually a criticism, but I know exactly what you meant. Yeah. Like, he's more of a guy who has a strong offensive coach and really strong receivers. That is not really the Raiders. The Raiders need someone who can chuck it downfield to Devontae Adams. That's Michael Penix. So it's different styles for different teams. No, I think he fits perfectly in Minnesota. And all the teams, they're looking. See, I don't know where I don't like J.J. McCarthy.
Where?
To a team like the Giants or the Patriots who don't have any receivers. He's not going to elevate the people around him. He's going to fit into where he goes if it's a good team. So he's that kind of quarterback. See,
I
disagree with you. I think sometimes you have to trade up to get that guy.
Okay, but I guess, like, if you're looking at the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver room, I would hope that if you are being drafted into the NFL, you could make something of that room. You're basically being gifted two great receivers in Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and you have a great pass-catching tight end in TJ Hockenson. Like, if you can't make that offense work with an offensive-minded head coach, I don't think that's like achievement. I don't think that's like a pat on the back. Like, congrats, you can get the ball to great receivers. Yeah. Good for you. That should be the absolute minimum.
Well,
when you trade up and you're trying to get somebody who you're giving away future first round picks, we're talking about J.J. McCarthy potentially going to the Vikings. I want someone who also can improvise, who can keep plays alive, who can make sure I'm keeping this going while, you know, Justin Jefferson is getting open, while Jordan Addison is getting open. Like, I want something more than just, yeah, he can distribute the ball to these guys. Like, no kidding. They can catch balls from anybody.
Yeah.
That's because they're so good, not because your quarterback's so good.
But they had more mobile guys to work at all last year with Dobbs and Nick Mullins.
Came in off the street.
Yeah, like, but I'm just saying it didn't work. Mullins had been there. That didn't work either.
Well, so might not be good, but yeah.
Right. But that's the thing. You need somebody who's good to do that. I don't think, honestly, what you said, all that improvised stuff, I think that's the last thing Kevin O'Connell wants anything to do with. And I think most coaches, like, that ability to improvise, I heard, oh, that's Justin Fields holding on to the ball too long. That is the single last thing Kevin O'Connell wants in Minnesota. Well, he wants a guy who's going to run the play and go first option, second option, third option, throw the ball away. He's not wanted an improviser.
Well, I wasn't thinking about Justin Fields because I wasn't in this scenario I'm creating. You're keeping the play alive, but you're not taking a sack. So,
well, I mean, keeping the play alive, though, does you have that risk that you're not going to get, you're not running the offense. So I think that,
because things aren't going to be perfect a lot of times in the NFL, and especially when you're, you know, even if you have these great receivers, you're still going to ask your quarterback to make a play at some point and more than one. Like, you're going to have to ask something from them, and especially a guy you're trading up assets for, the expectations are going to rise.
Yeah, you're not welcomed into the cult of Kirk.
I'm not part of the Kirk mob.
Kirk Cousins. No. Kirk made absolutely 0.5 plays with his legs his entire tenure in Minnesota. That's what Kevin O'Connell wants.
And what did they win?
13 games one season.
Yeah, and they were a fraud of a one seed, and they got upset at home by the Giants.
Regardless.
Or were they a two seed that year? Whatever it was. They lost their playoff game at home to Daniel Jones.
You can litigate the Vikings and Kirk Cousins all you want. I'm just saying that is obviously a valuable player to the NFL. The dude's making $50 million a year.
Yeah, but not with the Vikings. I mean, well, they were done with him.
Oh, how much money did he make with
him? No, he did. But again, if he was really the guy and they're thinking we're really close and all this, like they could have just kept extending him.
I think they would say to themselves, J.J. McCarthy is a younger, slightly more athletic Kirk Cousins.
That's possible. Andy is in Pittsburgh, wants to weigh in on the J.J. McCarthy debate. Hey, Andy, what's up?
Hey, I think if he's with the right team, J.J. McCarthy can be a star. I compare him to, like, Troy Aikman, the situation. If he didn't have Emmitt and Mike Irvin, he wouldn't be a good big star, Aikman wouldn't. Same way with McCarthy. So, I mean, that's why he did so good at Michigan. He had his receivers. He had two star running backs, Corum and, Edwards.
Yep.
So he needs some guys around him. He's not the one-man show like Rodgers or Peyton Manning, but he needs –
Right, but Andy, and I know you say Troy Aikman, and Troy went number one overall, so obviously you're going to have massive expectations when you're the top pick, but we expect a lot from these quarterbacks who go high in the draft and are taken high, not just that they're going to, you know, be okay handing the ball off 30 times.
Right, well, yeah, but you need a mixer, too. Some quarterbacks can do that and everything, but just like compared to another sport. Some players can shoot the ball good, and some players are good passing it too, but some can do it all.
Hey, Andy.
J.J. McCartney needs people.
I love it. J.J. McCartney. Blackbird. Singing in the dead of night. Okay, so, Andy, I got a question for you. Just
okay.
May I ask you a personal question? Do you mind? You can absolutely tell me no. I'm having trouble locating your accent. You're calling from Pittsburgh, but it sounds like a bit of a southern accent.
Well, I grew up in southern West Virginia, about 4 hours south of Pittsburgh.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, because I couldn't really place it. And, Andy, appreciate you making the call. I wasn't sure. You know, a Pittsburgh accent is very, obvious, you know, like Pat McAfee, the Pittsburgh accent, Yins, Dantan, stuff like that. And I wasn't sure if your accent in Pittsburgh gets so thick it could sound a little like a southern accent. But no, Andy's from West Virginia, so that makes a little more sense.
There you go.
All right. My best friend's from Pittsburgh, so I can tell her accent is thick. It's Yinzers. It's very unique. It's very special. All right, let's waste no more time. It's Perloff's moment to go against the grain.
Against the grain.
I have a trivia question to start. And if anybody gets this, I'm buying them lunch and dinner.
Whoa.
Can you tell me the oldest rookie quarterback of all time and how old he was?
Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon is seventh. Chris Schwenke is ninth.
Oh, man.
It is Butch Sundin of the 1960 Boston Patriots. Then the most recent guy is 2019, Ryan Griffin. Remember the backup for the Bucks? He was 30. So there is
Wait, how old was the first guy? Bruce Sundin? What's his name?
36. Butch Sundin.
Butch.
You know who his second was? Dieter Brock. I know you remember Dieter Brock, right, Bilotti? Feels like he's a big 80s quarterback.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
Pete's got a shrine to him in his house.
That's right.
Does he remember
right
Dieter Brock?
Right next to my Bruce Bochy shrine.
Do you guys know Dieter Brock? I'm just curious.
I know Dieter Brock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, regardless. Yeah, he's pretty old. Warren Moon was 28, by the way. Very old. But that had a whole backstory.
Another situation playing in Canada.
This is not my argument. My argument is, tell me one reason that drafting an older quarterback is not a good idea. People are using it as a negative for Bo Nix and Michael Penix. In 2024 in the NFL, it should be one of the great positives of all these guys, because the key to drafting a quarterback, the only reason you want to do it in the first round is so you have 5 years of cost control. So why don't you want those 5 years to be close to the peak of the quarterback? So you got to take Bo Nix, who'll be 24 and a half when he starts in the NFL, and also Michael Penix, who is in 23 now. It usually works. Let me list some guys who are older. Joe Burrow, first start, 23.7. Vinny Testaverde, 23.8. Carson Palmer, 23.7. Eli, 23.7. Brock Purdy was in his 23s, and he was still one of the youngest quarterbacks ever to go to the Super Bowl. You have to hit this peak. Why would you draft a 21-year-old guy if you have a 23-year-old guy who you've proof of concept? I just think in today's NFL, being old is a gigantic positive. It's kind of like Moneyball. Moneyball, the theory was that a lot of teams like high school players. Moneyball, you like the college players who've already seen a little bit of it. They're older. A lot of scouts like the traits, where that's stupid. You should look at college production. This, you have to take Knicks and Penix. And I think they both go in the first round for this very reason. I think teams are into this. I think people who are knocking those guys for being older are dead wrong. I think they have the exact opposite. Give me the old guy over the young guy all day long. Because then I get 5 years of him in his mid-20s. Let's go. That's a lot of value. So I think teams look at that. I think the cost of a quarterback is one of the big issues why we're going to have six quarterbacks maybe in the first round. Because they're cheaper. So I go with the old guys. I'm high on Knicks and Penix to go in the first round. I think their age, which a lot of people ding them for, is one of their strengths.
All right. I like it as an against the grain, because you're right. They do get dinged for this. We talked about this a little last year with Hendon Hooker, right? Remember, he was a little older. Now, but then he got an injury.
I mean,
so it's
Hooker,
a little different.
Hooker still has not played it. Yeah. He can't even practice.
So here's my question, though, about older quarterbacks, right? Yeah. So this is the knock. The knock is that they have already achieved their ceiling. So, like, for a Bo Nix or for a Michael Penix, is this as good as it's going to get for them, you know? And maybe even specifically for a Bo Nix, you weren't great when you were at Auburn. Then you go to Oregon and you become great. Is that because, maybe a little system, a little scheme, a little maturity, but also now you're 23 and you're playing against 19 and 20-year-olds. You're just bigger and you're just smarter than everybody. So I think it's about the ceiling. And about, are you just an older person competing against younger people, and that's why your college tape looks better?
Yeah, but Bo Nix, I mean, Auburn could have ruined any quarterback. Because we saw Jared Stidham was in Auburn, and he was terrible because Gus Malzahn was out of his mind. I think it was Malzahn with him. Honestly, like, that's the Auburn problem. Joe Burrow, I mean, obviously my counter is always Joe Burrow. Sure. Didn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. Didn't do much his first year at LSU. So we just, like, Brock Purdy, we didn't know. You just don't know. You get the right older guy in the right spot. You're guessing on all these guys. Will you admit that? Like, there's a giant amount of guesswork when they're drafting these quarterbacks. The hit rate is 50%. So if you have two guys who are equal, do you want the 21-year-old or the 23-year-old? Common thinking is the 21-year-old because you haven't seen his upside yet. I think that's wrong. I would take the old guy. If everything's even, why not get Bo Nix at 24? You're going to get 4 years of really solid play here. What are you getting with, who's the young guy? Drake May is 21. You have no idea what he's going to do in that first 5 years. I mean, who's more likely to sign a second contract? I just think the older guys are going to be good this year. And I like Nix and Penix. I think you kind of err towards the young guys. You think Nix and Penix are kind of on the old side?
No, I like Penix. Nobody's talking about injuries at all anymore when that was a huge part of his story. And I find it a little odd that's just sort of totally gone away. And as far as Nix is concerned, I do like Nix a lot. I mean, I think if they win that game against Washington, the rematch, I think he wins the Heisman, and it was close. So I like Nix. I can't tell if maybe he just changed schemes, got older than everybody, and now all of a sudden we saw the ceiling. So I like your against the grain, though. Older quarterbacks, that's the new thing. 855-212-4227. We also have your great debate today. It is a Wednesday. And because the draft is starting tomorrow, we're asking who had the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL. We see you guys on the phones. We'll get to you in just a moment. Also, we're talking front offices. Who really needs to kill it in the next couple days with their draft? Maggie and Perloff, don't move.
Great debate Wednesday. Greatest rookie season in NFL history. We have the draft on Thursday. Got to have a lot of quarterbacks. Could have a contender for this debate in this draft. Maybe Caleb Williams, maybe Jaden Daniels. I think those guys are going to have great years. Last year, C.J. Stroud probably should have entered this debate, led the Texans to the playoffs when no one saw that coming. But I went with Eric Dickerson, the Rams' great, Maggie.
I went with Cam Newton, who not just had a great rookie season, but I think sort of started to break the mold a little bit about what we thought a dual-threat quarterback could really be, like the ceiling of a dual-threat quarterback. EJ?
I'm going with the great Randy Moss.
No explanation needed.
Yeah.
And Pete went with
Odell Beckham Jr.
Also no explanation needed. One-handed catch will apply. I don't know if Bogish is up on the Zoom. He is up on the Zoom. Bogish went with
Jim Brown, 1957 NFL MVP as a rookie.
He was good.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah,
is anybody jealous of EJ right now?
Jealous of EJ because he got to pick Randy Moss?
Not that he got to pick Randy Moss. I'm just thinking, man, why didn't I take Randy Moss? Because that guy was so cool as a rookie. That's a pretty good one.
I mean, you got Moss, became now part of our vocabulary because of his rookie year.
EJ, you got to pull up Eric Dickerson highlights and all the old. See, to me, I voted for old school running backs. Nobody breaks an 80-yard run anymore. This doesn't exist in the NFL anymore. It was so much different for running backs. So that's sort of my old guy vote for Eric Dickerson. Cam, by the way, there's nothing wrong with him.
No, we got some good options here. Andy is in Michigan, is on Maggie and Perloff, has got an idea. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Hey, good, guys. You good?
Oh, we're great.
Awesome. Hey, yeah, I'm going along with you, Maggie. Dual threat quarterbacks, Robert Griffin III. Man, that guy was just a beast. And, you know, it sucks. Every time I see him in the broadcast booth, I just shudder. What a pity, man. That guy, if he didn't get hurt, that guy could have broke some records.
You want to know who else is always lamenting when we see RG3 in the broadcast booth for that exact reason? Andrew Perloff. I feel like you are constantly wondering. You ask the question all the time, why is RG3 not on a roster?
Yeah, it's like 32.
Yeah, he's racing Formula One cars like in his spare time.
No, seriously, he's 34. He's basically the same age as Bo Nix. No, I mean, I don't understand, like, why did he never start again after Washington? Does anyone have an explanation? The guy had a beautiful, beautiful throwing motion and is the fastest, probably right there with Lamar, is the fastest quarterback I've ever seen. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, RG3 and Andy.
Second highest rated rookie quarterback.
It was unreal. And thank you so much for the call. I mean,
this is all the Commanders, formerly the other name team. They screwed this whole thing up. There was no reason his rookie year to put him out in that playoff game. Tore up his knee, and it just never came back.
20 passing touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, and then the rushing touchdowns. I believe he had 7 rushing touchdowns also that year. And let's not forget, that was a team that traded up, right? Remember, Washington traded tons of picks to try to get RG3 to the traded with the Rams, and he had so much pressure on him. I remember that time they had like pictures of him that were like the Obama posters with hope underneath. Like, I mean, talk about walking into a franchise where you were really expected to all of a sudden carry this franchise, and there was so much like hype around RG3.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of like a luck at RG3 going on this year because Caleb Williams being the Andrew Luck kind of thing, and Jaden Daniels will, you know, very much like RG3, incredible. Like, there's no combo of passing and running like Jaden Daniels. But this year's draft is different, but then you got the 4 guys below. I mean, I'm trying to convince you, Maggie, and I'm not getting anywhere. This is going to be a special quarterback class. It really,
it's these like guys 1983?
I think it could chat. Well, 83, that's, you had to bring up 83. No.
What else you got?
Well, what's the year that Cam and Andy Dalton and Colin Kaepernick went? I'll give you that.
That's 2011. Yeah, 2011. Rich is in Chicago, has a thought for the hometown Bears. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning. A couple quick things, and I'll kind of weigh in on this. I'm with Perloff. Dickerson would have had 2,000 yards. I'm old enough where I've seen all of your picks, and they're all very good. But Dickerson was the first guy that taught NFL running backs to run out of bounds on every run. He never got hit. That's why he played for 100 years. He could have had 2,000 yards. He'd run out of bounds on every play he broke. So I think he was spectacular. The other thing I want to talk about real quick for the Bears, McCarthy, I think that when you talk about why would the Vikings mortgage the future, I'm really a big fan of Penix. And he's going to be there at 12 and 13.
Yeah.
So why would you mortgage the future for McCarthy when you can get Penix clean?
Yeah, Rich, I think that's a good point.
I don't understand why. I have a Penix rated above McCarthy, and I'm an ex-college player, and all of my buddies and I kind of agree on this. And here's what we really agree on, the purpose of my call. And this is what Perloff kind of touched on. But in the past 10 years, 63% of the first-round quarterback picks have not become starters and for 3 to 4 year starters. That's a failure rate of 63, not 50. Only 37% became 3 or 4 year starters. So given that it's a crapshoot, and I like Jane Daniels better, but the Bears in their infinite wisdom and their history of screwing up, they will probably draft. But here's the deal. Why wouldn't you, given everybody wants Caleb Williams, I like Daniels better, why wouldn't you trade down to 2, give up number 1, Bears only have 4 draft picks, and stockpile draft picks for Caleb Williams? I would take Jaden Daniels anyway, and I can get him in number 2. Now, the Bears, their history is not good, and they probably won't do it, but my friends and I, we really prefer Jaden Williams. Caleb.
Rich, it's interesting. Now, yesterday we spoke with Jim Nagy, who is the executive director of the Senior Bowl and was a longtime NFL scout. And he did think that the whole world sort of jumped to the conclusion a little too quickly that Caleb Williams was far and away the best quarterback prospect in this draft. And he said he spoke with many teams who actually did have Jaden Daniels higher on their board.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you've been saying all along, though, I think the reason you don't do that if you're Chicago and Ryan Poles is because there's so much risk. If you trade off of 1 to go to get Jaden Daniels at 2 and Caleb Williams is a superstar, you're going to look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. So I think the downside, and I think GMs are risk averse. You know, Nagy said the same thing. A lot of GMs are thinking, what pick can I make to keep my job? You know, I got kids in school. I got 3 years. I got a mortgage. So I think that's one of those situations. Even if you do secretly think Jaden Daniels is better, you might take Caleb Williams just because you know, this is a matter of my job. The other thing, too, is like the injury risk. I'm a Jaden Daniels super fan. I think that Caleb Williams is a little more solid physically. I'd be too scared that my number one guy get hurt.
Yeah. Also, here would be a question, a real life question, right? From Rich in Chicago, just saying, what if the Bears traded out of the first pick because Jaden Daniels might be higher on their board, whatever. If you're the Bears and you're holding this number one overall pick and you call the Commanders, doesn't that set off a red flag for the Commanders?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the point if you're the Commanders?
Exactly. The Commanders would be like, well, okay, say that we really like Caleb. You're calling us.
but in reality, because we've all seen Caleb Williams and we've seen Jaden Daniels, if I'm the Commanders and they're offering, we'll give up a first-round pick to get Caleb Williams, I'm doing that.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I have to, because if you're calling me, that means you're probably like Daniels more. So this is, I might have to take a bit of a risk that this is going to fall my way anyway.
That's a risk. Because you're only calling because you know there's so much pressure to take Caleb. You wouldn't be calling if you were to just take Jaden.
Okay, but I know in this scenario, and it's a little convoluted, but if the Bears actually didn't want Caleb Williams and they started shopping that number one pick, then I can't go back further than 2 because if I actually want Jaden Daniels, this doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
I wanted to trade with the Patriots. The Patriots come up and they get Caleb first. And then what do you think the Commanders are doing? They're taking Jaden Daniels. They're taking your guy. Unless you have intel that they like Drake May more, but I wouldn't rely on that.
Well, I just think if you're the Commanders and someone says you can get up to get Caleb Williams, the Commanders would do that. They'd give up. They'd move the sun and the moon to get up to number one, but it's not happening. Remember when the Bears had to take Trubisky at 2 instead of 3?
Yeah.
Because the Niners said, hey, we're getting calls. We're getting calls here for this number 2 pick. So then Chicago had to move up from 3 to 2.
Yeah.
They held him. I like they hold him over a barrel. But,
see, this reminds me of what your 76ers did the year with Markelle Fultz.
Sorry, with Fultz and Jason Tatum.
And Jason Tatum. Like, the Boston Celtics knew that your 76ers wanted to take Markelle Fultz, so they traded out of it to get Jason Tatum.
Right, and the Sixers should have taken Tatum, but if the Celtics thought they were taking Tatum, they never would have made that deal. So it's chicken or the egg. Regardless, none of this is happening. Caleb Williams is going 1. Then probably Jaden Daniels, too.
I would think so. I mean, that's what the odds are saying. Andrew Bogish is here. He's got some headlines on this very busy day. Good morning.
I've got some breaking news from college football. Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back.
Get out of here.
The formal announcement's coming soon. It'll say that the Heisman Trust changed its mind because of the, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape, like NIL. So this fight's been going on for a decade. Didn't Johnny Manziel not go to a ceremony over this? And now Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back.
Yeah, Manziel said he was going to start boycotting, right, until Reggie got the Heisman back. Wow. I was actually on USC's campus the day they took it away. And we were there to do an interview with Matt Barkley for Sports Illustrated, but it was the day the news came down, and it ended up being a huge deal. We were in the scrums, and all my friends and family thought I moved to L.A. because they saw us on ESPN. Wow. I have a question for you. So does that mean we should revisit, like, any of these other things? Like Maurice Clarett wanting to get into the draft before he had to play 3 years in college. Like, is everything out on the table now if they're going to revisit this?
If there was another Maurice Clarett court case, he would blow that away. Everything's changed against college football, right? The fact that you could transfer immediately with no penalty whatsoever, like, I like that one. You're right. Who are some of the other? Are they going to unvacate titles and things? Like Michigan gets their final appearance back? Bogus. You have an answer for that? I like where you're headed. Like, it's a new.
Open the door.
I like that the Heisman Trust admitted that the current changes is what affected our thinking. They were just like, basically, they're admitting public pressure changed their mind. There's no other reason than it's a different atmosphere. Well, is that a valid
I think there's
reason?
Another reason.
What? Lawsuit?
No, last week or 2 weeks ago was a big reason, I think.
About OJ?
Yeah, they had to put out the statement, hey, OJ, he died. We wish him well, or whatever. Like, I think that made them rethink everything. They had to sit there and be like, we're immortalizing, because they didn't say, oh, by the way, he had this whole case where he was, you know, charged with double murder.
Right.
They just put out a statement being like, great football player, great Heisman, we'll miss him. And they put that out there, and people were like, y'all really are going to immortalize O.J. Simpson but not give Reggie Bush's Heisman back? And then they said, you know what? This has gotten out of control.
Wait, let me ask you. The thinking here is they just want to change the headline? They want to change the narrative and
put out
another?
I'm not sure to change the headline. I think we moved on, but I think that was the moment where, I mean, they got skewered for that.
Yeah, no, I know. But so I'm not quite sure I follow the logic of you're sitting there at the Heisman Trust and say, like, man, that was a huge mistake. Let's give Reggie his Heisman back.
I think and I'm not saying these are the most moral people, but I think there's a moral conundrum that clearly was presented to them that I'm sure they thought about before they even put the statement out.
Oh, see,
like, we never took away OJ's Heisman when he was found liable for the murder of two people.
Right.
Yet, we're going to keep this Heisman away from Reggie Bush, whose parents took some money to, like, buy a house.
Even though now that is legal, what we're seeing. At least illegal in terms of through NIL. Really? I think all of that, combined with OJ, had a lot to do with why this is happening today.
I don't have all the Reggie info in front of me again, but I'm pretty sure what his parents did is still not allowed. Like, you can't take a gift to get your kid to go to a school. Like, that's still not allowed. You could give him a blank check for, you know, for 500 grand, then he can buy his family a house. But USC can't buy the next top recruit's kid a house, so he goes to the Trojans, which was always their argument, is that what Reggie did is still not allowed. But I think EJ's hitting on this is that it's one thing to, like, ignore the disconnect between Reggie Bush and OJ, but then when you're writing a sorry you passed away tweet about OJ Simpson, it probably does make you feel a little bit different that you still have him in your room, but not Reggie Bush.
Well, it's funny. They needed OJ's death to remind them of this hypocrisy. I think that's a great theory,
right?
But that sounds like they're ridiculous people then.
They are.
Apparently
I think we've got
so.
Our answer here. Wow, that is some news. Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back. What else happened yesterday, Bogues, or today?
Well, we've already declared this morning that your girlfriend or another loved one cannot defend you publicly when anonymous NBA player poll declares you the league's most overrated player. But if your brother's about to win MVP again and is leading a 20-point turnaround against the Lakers, can you punch another person at the game during said rally? I'm asking for the Jokic brothers. One of them went over two rows of seats to clock a dude during Game 2 with LA. The NBA and Denver PD are investigating, with the police saying no one filed a complaint at the arena that night or in the time since.
I mean, these guys... Nobody should be messing with these guys. Or I don't know if they should be allowed in the arena ever again. I mean, this is not the first time that they've gotten some altercations. I don't know what sparked it, but I don't know if these guys can be trusted.
Totally,
I mean, this
agree.
Is at home. This wasn't even on the road where you have a hostile crowd. This is the home crowd who loves Jokic.
Yeah, you do not need that in the arena. I agree. I would get him out of there.
And for Jokic's sake, I mean, I know that we you mess around like, oh, he doesn't even care about basketball. He'd rather be at a Serbian OTB, you know, betting on horses. But he's got a lot at stake. I mean, he is one of the face of the league. He's a two-time MVP. I mean, just because he's reluctant doesn't mean he's not representing the league in a lot of ways. If this was someone else, I think that
he's the guy who stood there and said, I didn't want to go to the parade. I don't think representing the league is a priority to him at all.
Oh, it's not a priority, but like it or not, by virtue of him being so good, he does represent the league.
So you're saying that, yeah, but
he's got a lot at stake, and his brothers could be putting stuff at jeopardy here because they're reckless.
I feel like, actually, I kind of disagree. I don't think he feels like legacy to him doesn't seem to mean a single thing here. So what's he really have at stake here? You're saying
I think like any famous person whose siblings or someone in their entourage, like John Morant's entourage and his group of friends came under huge scrutiny.
Jackson
Why wouldn't Jokic's? Oh, my gosh, I mean, Jackson Mahomes, sheesh.
Jackson Mahomes has been terrible, but Patrick's just fine. I mean, it hasn't really affected him.
No, but I think that, I guess. I mean, I think that people believe he's like a knucklehead.
Yeah, he's terrible. Jackson Mahomes is terrible, and Mahomes is just going out there and winning Super Bowls. I'm not sure what Joker really can lose here, but I do agree with you. Like, they shouldn't be allowed in the arena. If they're obviously, like, maybe somebody provoked them, but if you're that big, dude, you don't get into that kind of fight. It's dangerous.
Also, don't be provoked.
And these guys seem to be easily provoked. I mean,
totally.
I mean, they were yelling,
be better,
Devin
be
Booker.
Bigger, you know?
Yeah, like, this was, I think, maybe a little funny initially when you're yelling at Devin Booker from 30 feet away. This has become clownish and goonish, what we're seeing from these guys.
This is not a good look. What else we got, folks?
We got actual basketball last night. Luka Doncic overcoming Kawhi Leonard's return to get his Mavs a split in L.A.
7 to shoot. 6-5-4, try to drive it, step back for 3, hit it! And Luka letting the crowd know in a timeout by Tyronn Lue.
Chuck Cooperstein on Mavs Radio going with the rare Tyronn Lue. That's like me calling Maggie Margaret. Luka scoring 32 in this 96-93 decision in Game 2 with the Clippers. Kawhi was playing for the first time since March 31st. He had 15 points in 35 minutes. The Pacers got their split in Milwaukee, 125-108, ending their 10-game postseason losing streak. Pascal Siakam, 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Only the T-Wolves then took a 2-0 lead last night, smothering the Suns 105-93. Despite just 15 points from Anthony Edwards, this is just the second 2-0 lead in Minnesota playoff history. Do we think there was some pent-up Ipe anger behind this swing from Shohei?
Barnes, the right-hander, first base side of the rubber, kicks and deals, and Shohei crushes one. This is way back, and it is gone into the upper deck in right field. And that ball got out of here in a blink of an eye. A lightning bolt off the bat of Shohei Ohtani.
Tim Nevrick called it on Dodgers Radio. Ohtani's homer capped off a 4-1 win in Washington. It went 450 feet. It left the bat at 118.7 miles an hour. That's the hardest homer he's ever hit and the hardest by any Dodger in the StatCast era, which goes back to 2015. The Panthers and Rangers have 2-0 leads after last night on playoff ice. Florida outlasting Tampa Bay 3-2 in overtime. New York held off Washington 4-3. Alex Ovechkin has one shot on goal through two games for the Caps. The Predators got a split in Vancouver 4-1. The Avalanche did the same thing in Winnipeg 5-2. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we check in with our favorite college football coach and more on the breaking news from this morning that we heard from Andrew Bogish, which is Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back. We've got more reaction to that in just moments. Sit tight. Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Busy for our pal Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. First, this came from yesterday. Dylan Edwards, the Colorado running back, has decided to hit the transfer portal, Perloff. So 76 carries, 321 yards, a touchdown, 36 receptions, 300 yards, 4 TDs. Last year. So that's just one new piece of news. The second is Cormani McClain was the star corner who also hit the portal. not happy with Deion, says he wanted to change the narrative and joined a quote-unquote real program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm just ready to bring the old version of me out and change the narrative of everyone's thinking on my name. Be a part of a real and a great program that's going to impact me at my best ability.
He also says he doesn't want to play just for internet fame.
I feel like I just don't want to play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players.
All right. Not doing it for clicks. That sounds like what Oregon coach Dan Lanning was saying to his Ducks before they played Colorado, that they do it for clicks. We do it for wins or whatever he said.
Yeah, I'm on Team Deion on this one. Deion. So many words said, all the guys are leaving. We're not that good at football.
Yep.
And I saw him play in the Pac-12, and I can endorse Deion's take there.
Yeah. Cormani McClain also, it just never really seemed actually like a great fit, quite frankly. I mean,
yeah, like
Deion criticized him publicly also.
He just didn't even play that much. Yep. It was weird. That was a
issues,
big name.
Stuff like that.
But I do think here's the game with Deion. Can he get in more good players than he's losing? I guess that's not really where you want to be as a coach, but it does seem like he's done the right thing. He's got an offensive line. Just got a new running back the other day that all the college guys from Ohio State were saying it's going to kill it there. I think, you know, you can lose anyone from that team except Shador, and I'm fine.
There you go. So that is checking in on the state of Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, we mentioned breaking news this morning, and that is the Heisman Trophy Trust has said they are going to give back the Heisman to Reggie Bush. This has been a long time coming. When Reggie Bush in 2005 won the Heisman Trophy, it technically was not taken away. Technically, he gave it to them. Like he gave it up. It wasn't actually like he was doing that because he wanted to. They were sort of forcing him to give up the Heisman, and now they are going to return it. He forfeited the Heisman in 2010 because of those NCAA sanctions for USC. They said Reggie Bush got improper benefits during his time as a Trojan from 2003 to 2005. But I'm glad the Heisman Trust is doing this. You know, I think he's been, you know, kind of punished enough. Like, his name was dragged through the mud. And I would love to just give truth serum to every Heisman Trophy winner and ask if they ever took anything impermissible. Like, I'm watching Johnny Manziel's documentary where he said his dad went to Kevin Sumlin and said, if you give us $2 million, we'll stay at Texas A&M. I mean, and then Kevin Sumlin is looked at as some kind of fool because he didn't pay the money. It all felt a little gross at the time, and they're trying to rectify this.
How many guys have basically been caught?
Yeah.
I know Cam never officially took the money, but clearly he was messed up. He was involved with a lot of different things. I'm looking at some of these. I'm not going to name names, but it is obvious to me that there are several people who played in the era where everyone was getting paid, and there's just no way to be this good and not get paid. I can't say any names. I don't want to assume, but you're telling me this guy didn't get paid to play at this school?
Which one are you?
Are you telling Jameis Winston to get paid to go to Florida State? Get out of here. They would be crazy not to pay him.
I don't know.
Been a black market in this sport forever.
You're right. Absolutely.
And that's why they should. But I like your question. If they're going to bring this Heisman back, what else will they, quote unquote, unvacate? Do we get the Fab Five in Michigan? Do they get their final appearance back? Because all these recruiting violations seem silly in modern terms, which is what the Heisman Trust cited. So now we have to go back in history and say, you know what? Maybe we should reinstate some other things.
Oh, if you're going to apply today's standard to years past, I don't see how you don't put these wins back on. Why don't you put USC's wins back in?
Absolutely.
Reinstate the national championship.
Give Jim Boeheim his wins back. I'm trying to look at, I guess Memphis was a runner-up. They got that got vacated. I didn't remember that exactly.
Well, everywhere John Calipari's gone, basically, something's happened.
Yeah, yeah. Give it all the, yeah, exactly. Ohio State 1999 Final Four. A lot of college basketball trips to the Final Four have been vacated. Bring them all back. I think this is, it just points out, the other thing, will Reggie get to go to the dinners and stuff? I assume he will. Will he be in the Heisman House commercials?
I mean, and will he want to accept it? Probably. I don't know if he'd be bitter after all this time. I mean, you could understand if he would be.
I think Reggie Bush would be smart to put that aside and say, listen, I want to be part of this family. Because we all know, you win a Heisman, you're set for life. You're going to live off that trophy.
Yep.
We've seen it with hundreds of different, I mean, a lot of guys, Gino Toretta, all these guys are well known because of the Heisman. It's a very important award.
So the other part of this, and EJ pointed it out, and I think it's smart. I mean, it looked pretty bad when O.J. Simpson passes away, what was that, 2 weeks ago? And the Heisman's putting out a statement, and you think to yourself, well, O.J. got to keep his Heisman.
Yeah.
And then Reggie Bush had to forfeit his, and I don't know if that looks so great, yeah, because that's not exactly or anywhere close to being apples to apples.
Yeah, they've had a long time to make that analogy. I hope they thought of it before, but you're right.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Pete Pilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Widow's Coffee Drinkers, Charles Davis. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.